You're listening to Björk Unraveled, a series that demystifies Björk's music one piece at a time. I'm your host, Savannah Wright. Over the years, Björk has done collaborations with well-known and obscure musicians. Some are kind of bizarre, like her cover of the Rolling Stones' Satisfaction with PJ Harvey. I can't get no satisfaction, and I try, and I try, and I try. Some are sweeping and majestic, like her collaboration with James Bond composer David Arnold. And some are unmistakably Björk. That, by the way, was a duet with Canadian Inuit throat singer Tanya Tagaq on Björk's album Medulla. It's the only Björk album I'm not covering in this series, because honestly, I haven't clicked with it yet. What's worth exploring about these collaborations is Björk's approach. She obviously has a clear vision of what she wants, but she's skilled at balancing it with artists who have equally strong visions. In an interview with Jefferson Hack in 2017, he asked Björk if her collaborative spirit stems from her punk rock origins. She said that it might, but she's also found that the key to successful collaborations is taking care of your individual creative goals. Because once you feel secure about your own vision, you can feel open to another artist's perspective.
You don't have to sacrifice one for the other. Maybe they can coexist. Mm-hmm. And that chamber of yourself that writes the scripts or writes the poetry or walks alone outside and writes melodies or writes that novel... You know, that sort of solitaire side of you, you can feed that. And then you can go and be very collaborative.
Yeah.
And then if it works really well to be collaborative, I mean, you drop your ego and you are very sort of, you heal and you make a flow and it's something, 1 + 1 = 3, you know, it's more than you would have done on your own. Then you can go back in the other space, you know. So I think you don't have to choose, if I had to say anything. You can do both.
I really like this idea of 1 + 1 = 3. I feel like there's all these horror stories of two artists, whatever the medium, trying to collaborate and just butting heads because they don't want to compromise. The equation for that collaboration would be 1 + 1 = 0.5. Instead, Björk argues that if both artists find common ground, they can create something greater than their two halves. So in this episode, we're going to explore that equation of 1 + 1 = 3 through a few of my favorite collaborations Björk has done, ones that I think will appeal to all kinds of listeners. And to be fair, she's collaborated with a lot of brilliant musicians, not to mention visual artists for her music videos. But I'm only going to talk about three of them here: Timbaland, Arca, and Serpent with Feet. Let's start in 2007, with a collab she did with Timbaland called Earth Intruders. It's the opening song off her album Volta, and it's actually Björk's highest charting single in the US to date. So if you haven't liked a single song I've explored so far, maybe this will be the one. Earth Intruders was co-produced by Timbaland and his protege, Danger. If you listen to the radio at all between the years 2006 and 2010, you know who Timbaland is. He produced a ton of hit singles during this period, like Promiscuous by Nelly Furtado, no, no, yeah, I'm not yours, I'm not yours. as well as Justin Timberlake's iconic album, Future Sex Love Sounds. I'm bringing sexy back. Yeah. The mother boys don't know how to act. Yeah. I think it's special what's behind your back. Yeah. So turn around and I'll pick up the slack. Bjork met Timbaland back in the 90s, when he sampled Yoga for Missy Elliott's Hit 'Em With the He. When Timbaland announced he was working with Bjork on Volta, some critics speculated that this would be her hip-hop album, her most commercial yet. After all, everything Timbaland touched in the 2000s seemed to hit the Billboard 100. But Bjork put those rumors to bed. She said she wasn't working with Timbaland as a hitmaker, or because of his affiliation with R&B or hip-hop. She wanted to work with him as a musician in his own right. As with any other collaboration, she wanted to find common ground so they could make something greater than the sum of their musical parts.
I think afterwards, looking back on what we did together, I think maybe after sort of having mutual admiration over a period, over 10 years, by the time we actually got into the studio together, we sort of... maybe we sort of knew a little bit what area, even though we're really, really different, opposite musicians, like what area we actually share, which is very, 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 very small, but it actually is an area though. And maybe it's a speculation that it's our love for the Silk Road, you know, of North African rhythms and Pakistan and India. And he has always sampled a lot of music from that area.
Even though they shared only a narrow overlap of musical interests, they made it work. And I want to look at which elements of the song bear the stamp of Bjork, Timbaland, or both. First, quick disclaimer, there were other collaborators on this track, including Timbaland's protege Danja, Congolese ensemble Konono No. 1, and experimental American percussionist Chris Corsario. They obviously brought their own musical styles and perspectives, but I'm keeping it simple by focusing just on Timbaland and Bjork. I want to see this equation of 1 plus 1 equals 3 in action, so I'm going to examine some features of Earth Intruders to show how they create something greater than Bjork or Timbaland could do on their own. So, number 1, Earth Intruders starts with this rhythmic marching loop. It sounds like people stomping through mud. This one feels like Bjork, and I'll tell you why. There are actually two Bjork songs that start this way. Aurora from Vespertine. And 107 Steps from Selma Songs. Now, let's talk about the breakbeat that enters next. You might think this was Timbaland's, but here I think we're entering that Bjork-Timbaland overlap. If you didn't know, breakbeats are a repeated sample of a drum beat. They became the foundation of hip-hop music in the 80s and 90s, but they've also been used in EDM and pop songs. Timbaland is known for his danceable beats and for experimenting with world instruments. While most breakbeats are samples from snare and hi-hat drum solos, Timbaland's beats often draw on more robust sounds. Here's an example in the song Give It To Me from his album Shock Value. And Bjork also uses breakbeats. While most of the beats we've looked at so far are from synths, she has used drum beats like the one in Earth Intruders. Here's an example in I Miss You from Post. So that one is a little bit of both. But then there's this glitchy sound that comes in on the offbeat. It enters around the 1 minute 30 second mark. This sounds like Timbaland to me. When I heard this sound, I immediately thought of the "yeah" in Sexy Back. I'm bringing sexy back. That one comes in between the third and fourth beat. One and two and three, yeah, four and. Some turn around and I'll pick up the slack. With Earth Intruders, it comes in after the fourth beat. One and two and three and four, whoop. So as you hear, there are parts that sound distinctly Timbaland or Björk, but there are also features that both artists share, which gives Earth Intruders a sound that neither would have achieved on their own. I'm not going to talk about the rest of Volta here, simply because it doesn't resonate with me as much as the other albums we've discussed. And actually, Volta is kind of the album that all of the Björk fans make fun of for some reason. But I think it's interesting that Volta was Björk's first and only album to crack the top 10 on America's Billboard 200. It peaked at number 9. And a lot of critics have hailed it as a return to the art pop sound of Post and Debut. And some critics call it her most commercial, though Björk maintained that it wasn't any more commercial than her previous work. But come on, Medulla? Okay, I want to jump forward in time about 10 years. We're now in 2017, and Björk is releasing her 9th studio album, Utopia. Björk called Utopia her Tinder album, which makes it sound a lot juicier than it actually is. Really, it was because she was opening herself back up to love after a bitter divorce, which she sang about in her previous record, Vulnicura. In Utopia, Björk is playing with yet another section of the orchestra, woodwinds.
So the whole album is a little bit about air, because it's sort of, we decided to have synths that have a lot of air sounds in them, and flutes that sound synthy, so it's that sort of crossover there.
To make this airy atmosphere, she created an ensemble of Icelandic flute players, and also did some field recordings of bird calls. And what's sweet about Björk using all these flutes is that the flute was Björk's first instrument as a child. So it's like she's returning to her core self after the heartbreak and fragmentation of Vulnicura. Björk has worked with acclaimed producers on all of her albums, but Utopia was most collaborative of all. Because instead of having someone come in at the end to add the sparkle, Björk asked the producer Arca to create the record with her in equal partnership. Arca is an accomplished electronic producer from Venezuela, who has also worked with Kanye West on Yeezus and FKA Twigs on EP2. When Björk was wrapping up Vulnicura, she asked Arca to work her magic on the songs Björk had already written. But for Utopia, Björk wanted Arca to complete the entire production process with her. I'm going to play a clip from an interview Björk did with Jefferson Hack. But before I do, I want to note that Arca came out as non-binary in 2018, which is after this interview took place. So when Björk uses the he, him pronouns and calls Arca Alejandro, that's why. Arca has said that she identifies as a trans woman and goes by she, her, and it, its pronouns. So I'll be using those. Here's Björk describing how she and Arca started working on Utopia.
I also felt as a musician, I obviously saw a gigantic musician in him. Mm-hmm. And I felt that he had gone into my world with such elegance and dignity and interpreted, helped me what was there. That I wanted to meet, like, let's meet on a more equal basis. And of course, it's my album for sure. I mean, and he makes his albums and they have his name on it. But as a pure musician, we decided to enter this other world and this other island, which is the sort of Arka-Björk overlap.
In the liner notes of Utopia, Björk is credited for vocals, digital flute, flute arrangements, vocal arrangements, choir arrangements, and cello arrangements. Arka, meanwhile, is credited for electronics, synth melodies, and beats. But instead of trying to match features to artists like I did before, I want to examine how their two perspectives complement and enhance one another. I want to find that Björk-Arka overlap that she mentioned. So, let's take a listen to the opening track of Utopia, Arise in My Senses. And inside my body, a line drops me. Björk explained the story behind this song in an interview with Fact Mag. Quote, because it was such dark subject matter with Funikura, we were definitely keen on lightness. I guess we'd just been listening nonstop for 2 years to really grim lyrics and rough string arrangements. And when you've been at the bottom of the lake for so long, eventually, you're going to float up to the surface. It's like physics. So I was really excited by things really fluffy and airy and floating and like fireworks. I actually found a loop of a mixtape or a SoundCloud thing that Arka had done 3 years prior. I just thought it was the most happiest firework that he'd ever done. I didn't tell him about it. I just sampled it, sang it to him, and he just exploded, you know? I wasn't really conscious of what I was doing. I was reaching for the most euphoric anti-gravity moment that he'd done. And then I exaggerated that by looping it and writing a harp arrangement around it and singing on top of it these ecstatic lyrics. After we'd taken the saddest coordinates of each other and combined them into Vulnikura, we were doing the opposite now. And that was kind of the starting point. Close quote. So she started with Arka's firework of sound idea and then made it her own by transposing it to the harp. She's taking a moment of lightness from Arka's work and using it here to express the internal explosion you feel when you're falling in love. The song has such a beautiful build. She keeps adding more vocal layers, and Arka keeps adding those hi-hats that you usually hear in trap music. It epitomizes that overwhelming sensation of a first kiss with someone you're enamored with. Your thoughts are racing, which Björk's vocals capture, but there are also feelings that you can't put into words, which the harps capture, and even the stuttering of your heart, which the hi-hats reflect. I also love the juxtaposition between the soft harp and the gritty hi-hats. I would have never put them in the same song, but the way Björk and Arka use them here evoke that feeling of airiness Björk wanted. What sets this collaboration, apart from Björk's work with Timbaland, is not only the roles Arka and Björk played as equal partners, but also that they found common ground in a feeling, and not just a musical style. Of course, Björk and Arka share a love of beats. Björk has made them a part of nearly every record, but the goal was to explore where and how they find joy, and to translate that together into music. There's another unusual aspect of the Björk and Arka collaboration that's worth mentioning. Arka is actually 24 years her junior. Of course, Arka is undeniably talented, but she also grew up as a fan of Björk. So when Björk gave Arca the opportunity to co-produce this record, she didn't just collaborate with Arca. She elevated her as her equal. I try to imagine some other big artists collaborating with a younger producer, and I can't help but think a lot of them would be slightly patronizing. Like, they would make it about themselves and how they were so generous to bring in a fan. But that's not Björk. She's never been that way. In fact, Björk has a notable track record of mentoring and elevating younger artists. In 1998, she founded her own record label called Ear Records. Though it was short-lived, it allowed Björk to promote the music of her longtime friend, Magasteena. And remember the Inuit throat singer, Tagak, who I mentioned at the top of this episode? That song they did together was later featured on Tagak's solo album. Another example is Layla Arab, an electronic producer from Iran. Björk recruited her to play keyboards while on tour promoting debut. Layla was hesitant to join because she had never played for huge crowds before. But Björk insisted and even gave her the opportunity to experiment with live output mixing. That experience became the basis for Layla's solo music career, where she integrated live mixing into her own songs and performances. And it was Layla who introduced Björk to the next collaborator I'm going to talk about, Serpent with Feet. When you're kissing me. In an interview with The Guardian Guide, Björk shared how she met Josiah Wise, the man behind Serpent with Feet. Quote, "We hung out a lot in Brooklyn, and he took me to a gospel church and stood in the audience with me. I was going to be really cool and standoffish, being the agnostic person I am when it comes to religion. But in 3 minutes, I was singing along with him the songs I had never heard before at the top of my lungs. He's so talented and so warm and flowing. There's no stifled or stagnant energy in him," close quote. Little did she know, but Josiah was actually a huge fan of hers. In an interview with Dazed and Confused, he addressed her influence on him. Quote, "Your work has been a relentless compass for me through the years. Your words have given so many of us the real estate to be piercingly honest. Unravel, Hyper Ballad, and Lion Song are just a few Björk monuments in my life," close quote. Serpent with Feet is known for his experimental gospel style. He often sings confessional lyrics over soft beats and loops. He had just barely released his first EP in 2016 when Björk asked him to remix the second track off Utopia, Blissing Me. All of my mouth was kissing it. Now into the air. This collaboration is different from the others that I've talked about, in that Björk and Serpent with Feet didn't meet in the studio to work together. Rather, she gave Josiah full permission to take her song and make it theirs. Björk hasn't really explored R&B or gospel, so Serpent with Feet's remix is bringing her music to new territory. I talked about how A Rise in My Senses captures that giddy feeling when you're falling in love with someone. But Blissing Me is like that peculiar state of fear and excitement once you realize you're in love with someone. Because the future of this love is uncharted. Obsessive. I taught my heart to do more than miss him. Trained it to beat a less desperate rhythm. I think the common ground between Serpent with Feet and Björk in this song is not necessarily the music. I think the overlap here is, again, rooted in a feeling. It's that push and pull between wanting something to last, but fearing that it might not. In Björk's version, the lyrics describe intimate moments shared between two people falling in love. Kissing, texting, missing each other when they're apart, as well as the longing, fear, and doubt that go into any new relationship. Here are some of my favorite lines.
He reminds me.
When she sings that he reminds her of the love in her, it feels like a resurrection. Her new lover reminds her of what she thought she had lost, that head-over-heels feeling of falling for someone. And in his remix, Serpent with Feet adds his own lyrics to bring that feeling to the surface.
Now my heart has gone rogue, it prefers longing. Sit here and pretend that you're close to me.
I wish I heard more layered vocals here, because both of their voices are incredibly beautiful. But Serpent with Feet does layer his own vocals, just like Björk does in the rest of the album.
But I don't have enough clothes to dress all of the people I become. When you're kissing me.
For comparison, here's the original version. It shows that even though this is a remix, he wanted to honor Björk's original vision of an off-center narrator for this record. Björk said that after Vulnicura, she had emotionally, quote, OD'd on the self-importance of the narrator. So a lot of the melodies have like five vocals and none of them are lead vocals. They're like musical statements, close quote. Thankfully, the collaboration between Björk and Serpent with Feet did not end there. A few years later, she invited him to open for her at her Cornucopia residency at The Shed. Unfortunately, I couldn't go, and I can't find any recordings of them singing together, which apparently they did for a few songs. But I love that she wanted to share his artistry with her audience. Here's what Serpent with Feet said about the experience in an interview with Dazed and Confused. Quote, "She's really great at giving space for people to be the best version of themselves. I think an artist of her size, an artist who has done such legendary work as she has, could flex a certain way and could ask their collaborators to be less dynamic or to follow this specific rubric. She never made me feel that way. There was no prescribed path for me. She gave me lots of room to do what I wanted to do. It's really humbling and terrifying." Close quote. That room that she gives fellow artists is not only a hallmark of a musical great, but it's also the secret sauce for the incredible collaboration she's done her entire career. 1 + 1 = 3. So far, we've talked about how Björk has forged her own path in production and performance. But she's also a pioneer in the third prong of the music industry, consumption. In the next episode, we'll explore the Biophilia app and Vulnicura VR experience to learn how Björk uses technology to reinvent the way we consume music. You've been listening to Björk Unraveled, a series that demystifies Björk's music one piece at a time. Björk Unraveled is produced independently by me, Savannah Wright. If you liked this episode, please share it with a friend and submit a review on whatever podcast app you're using. And share your thoughts with me on Facebook and Instagram at Björk Unraveled. You'll find a new episode in your feeds every other Thursday. Thanks for listening.